Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew to stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on protecting your garden now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Imagine waking up one morning in March 2024 and seeing helicopters circling over Sean Diddy Combs' mansion in Los Angeles while federal agents in tactical gear storm through his front door. But this wasn't some random drug bust or celebrity scandal. This was the culmination of a federal investigation so massive, so methodical, and so shocking in its findings that it would ultimately bring down one of the most powerful men in entertainment history. I'm talking about an investigation that uncovered over 1,000 bottles of baby oil allegedly used in drug-fueled sex parties, three AR-15 rifles with defaced serial numbers, and enough evidence to charge a hip-hop mogul under the same RICO laws, typically used to take down the mafia. This is the story of how the FBI built their case against Sean Diddy Combs, and trust me, the devil is absolutely in the details. Let's start with the moment that changed everything. November 16th, 2023. That's the day Cassie Ventura filed a federal lawsuit that would crack open the empire Diddy had spent decades building. The lawsuit didn't just accuse him of abuse, it alleged rape, sex trafficking, and years of systematic psychological torture involving something called freak-offs, which were allegedly elaborate sex performances where Diddy would force Cassie to have sex with male prostitutes while he watched and filmed everything. Here's what's wild about this timeline. Cassie files this explosive lawsuit on November 16th. The very next day, they settle for what we now know was $20 million. That's not normal settlement behavior, folks. That's panic money. That's someone who knows that if this case goes to discovery, things are going to get very bad very quickly. But federal investigators don't care about private settlements. When Cassie filed that lawsuit, it painted a roadmap for prosecutors. Within months, the Southern District of New York had interviewed three women and one man about allegations of sex trafficking, sexual assault, and the distribution of illegal narcotics and firearms. The Southern District of New York isn't some small-town prosecutor's office. These are the people who took down John Gotti, Bernie Madoff, and Harvey Weinstein. So while Diddy thought he'd made his problems go away, federal investigators were just getting started. They were conducting interviews, gathering evidence, and preparing what would become one of the most dramatic law enforcement operations in recent celebrity history. March 25th, 2024. Federal agents with Homeland Security investigations executed simultaneous search warrants at Diddy's properties in Los Angeles and Miami. We're talking about scores of agents, helicopters circling overhead, command trucks parked outside, and agents in full tactical gear with weapons drawn. The Los Angeles raid took place at his mansion in Holmby Hills, a neighborhood so exclusive, it's home to the Playboy Mansion. Video footage shows agents approaching the property by water, with armed agents standing on boats. It looked like something out of a movie. In Miami, agents were simultaneously raiding Diddy's Star Island Mansion, a property he'd spent $35 million purchasing. The timing was clearly coordinated to prevent anyone from alerting the other location. This kind of multi-state simultaneous operation requires months of planning and approval from the highest levels of federal law enforcement. During these raids, Diddy's sons were handcuffed outside the Los Angeles property, which is standard procedure, but had to be traumatic. Diddy himself was in Miami. And here's where it gets interesting. Federal agents seized his phones before he was scheduled to depart for a trip to the Bahamas. That timing isn't a coincidence. But what the agents found was absolutely staggering. They discovered what prosecutors described as freak-off supplies, including narcotics, more than 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant, firearms and ammunition, including three AR-15s with defaced serial numbers, and videos. Lots and lots of videos. Now let's talk about the digital evidence, because this is where modern federal investigations really shine. When agents seized Diddy's phones at that Miami airport, they weren't just taking away his ability to communicate, they were capturing what's essentially a digital diary of criminal activity. Modern smartphones contain more personal information than any diary or filing cabinet ever could. Cell phone forensics experts use sophisticated tools to extract data even when suspects think they've deleted it. They can recover text messages, call logs, photos, videos, GPS location data, app usage, internet browsing history, and even recover deleted files that users think are gone forever. In federal investigations like this one, they use tools from companies like Cellbrite that can break into encrypted devices and extract every piece of data. The digital forensics team supporting this investigation consists of nearly 500 highly trained FBI agents and professional personnel working throughout the Bureau's 56 field offices. During fiscal year 2012 alone, they conducted more than 13,300 digital forensic examinations involving more than 10,500 terabytes of data. To put that in perspective, that's more data than the entire printed content of the Library of Congress. But here's what makes Diddy's case particularly damaging from a digital evidence standpoint. According to the federal indictment, he was making videos of these alleged freak-offs without the knowledge of participants. The indictment specifically states that Combs kept videos he filmed of victims engaging in sex acts with commercial sex workers. This creates a perfect storm for prosecutors because the very evidence Diddy allegedly created for blackmail purposes becomes evidence against him. Think about the digital footprint this would leave. Storing and organizing hundreds or thousands of videos requires sophisticated file management. There would be metadata showing when files were created, modified, and accessed. There would be evidence of file transfers, cloud storage, and backup systems. If Diddy was using these videos for blackmail, there would be communications about them in texts, emails, or encrypted messaging apps. Modern digital forensics can even recover GPS data that shows where phones traveled and when. This means investigators can place Diddy's devices at specific locations during alleged crimes. They can track travel patterns, identify when he was at hotels where alleged freak-offs took place, and correlate his location data with victim testimony. Let's talk about how this evidence fits into the RICO charges, because this is where the case gets really sophisticated. Diddy wasn't just charged with sexual assault or even sex trafficking. He was charged under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, the same law used to take down organized crime families. The RICO charge allows prosecutors to argue that Diddy was running what they call the Combs Enterprise, a criminal organization that used his legitimate businesses to facilitate crimes including sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction of justice. The beauty of RICO is that it makes every member of the organization potentially liable for every crime committed by the organization. The indictment alleges that the Combs Enterprise included employees like security staff, household staff, personal assistants, and high-ranking supervisors. These people allegedly helped arrange travel for victims and sex workers, booked hotel rooms, stocked them with drugs and baby oil, cleaned the rooms afterward, and gave Diddy large sums of cash to pay the sex workers. But RICO also allows prosecutors to introduce evidence of crimes that aren't even directly charged in the indictment. They can show a pattern of criminal behavior going back years. This is why we're hearing testimony about incidents from the early 2000s in a trial happening in 2025. They can paint a complete picture of how this alleged criminal enterprise operated. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams, who's prosecuting this case, has an impressive track record. His office has a conviction rate well above 90%. When he announced the charges, he said, "For years, Sean Combs used the business empire he controlled to sexually abuse and exploit women, as well as to commit other acts of violence and obstruction of justice." The RICO charge carries a potential sentence of up to 20 years in prison. The sex trafficking charge carries a mandatory minimum of 15 years and a maximum of life imprisonment. If convicted on all counts, Diddy is looking at 15 years to life in federal prison. The investigation has been notable for how many agencies were involved. This wasn't just the FBI. Homeland Security Investigations typically handles human trafficking cases. The Southern District of New York has jurisdiction over complex federal crimes. The DEA was involved because of drug allegations. The ATF handled weapons charges. When you see this level of federal coordination, you know they're taking the case seriously. One of the most sophisticated aspects of this investigation is how prosecutors are using the organizational structure of Diddy's businesses against him. They're arguing that he turned his entire business operation into a machine for facilitating sex trafficking. His record label, his clothing line, his various companies weren't just fronts for criminal activity. They were allegedly integral parts of the criminal enterprise. The investigation has also revealed extensive witness intimidation. The indictment mentions attempts to bribe witnesses and obstruct justice. During his trial, we've heard testimony about how Diddy allegedly tried to pay off a hotel security guard after he witnessed an assault on Cassie. This witness intimidation is probably why prosecutors have been so secretive about some aspects of their case, using anonymous Jane Does in many filings. What's particularly damning is the scope of physical evidence. They have the videos that Diddy allegedly made. They have the weapons with defaced serial numbers. They have the drugs. They have financial records showing payments to sex workers. They have hotel records showing when rooms were booked and cleaned. This is an evidence-heavy prosecution. The federal investigation has also benefited from technological advances in how investigators handle complex cases. The Southern District's Digital Forensic Unit uses sophisticated analytical tools to process massive amounts of data. They can create timelines, map relationships between suspects and victims, and visualize complex criminal enterprises. Federal investigators also use something called the Complex Analytical and Social Media Enhancement Team, which specializes in analyzing social media activity and digital communications patterns. This team can track how information flows through criminal organizations, identify key players, and map communication networks. The speed of this investigation was remarkable. From Cassie's lawsuit in November 2023 to federal charges in September 2024, that's less than a year. In white-collar crime prosecution, that's lightning fast. It suggests either investigators already had information about Diddy before Cassie's lawsuit, or they were able to gather evidence incredibly quickly because the alleged crimes were so extensive. The investigation team included Assistant U.S. Attorneys Meredith Foster, Emily A. Johnson, Christy Slavik, Madison Reddick-Smizer, and Mitzi Steiner from the Civil Rights Unit. This unit specializes in cases involving systematic violations of civil rights, which tells you how prosecutors are framing this case. They're not treating this as isolated incidents of assault. They're treating it as systematic civil rights violations carried out by a criminal enterprise. HSI Acting Special Agent in Charge William S. Walker said when announcing the charges, "Today we shatter any false notion of impunity as we uncover the defendant's alleged pattern of manipulation, exploitation, and outright abuse." This language suggests investigators see this case as broader than just prosecuting one individual. They're trying to send a message about accountability for powerful people who allegedly abuse their positions. The trial itself has been revealing about the strength of the federal case. Prosecutors have called 16 witnesses across 2 weeks of testimony, attempting to prove the rap mogul embraced violence and threats to coerce women into sex and protect his music empire. They've presented testimony from Cassie Ventura, who alleged a decade of abuse, 5 witnesses who saw Combs be violent toward Ventura, 2 of Combs' employees who allegedly helped him commit crimes, two escorts who said they were paid by Combs, and two federal agents who conducted searches. Homeland Security Special Agent Gerard Gannon walked the jury through evidence recovered from Diddy's Star Island home, including parts of two AR-15 assault-style rifles with defaced serial numbers found only feet from where Combs allegedly stored materials for freak-offs. This physical proximity is crucial for prosecutors because it establishes that the weapons were part of the same criminal operation. The investigation has also revealed how federal prosecutors handle cases involving celebrity defendants. They've been careful to protect witness identities while building a compelling case. They've used sealed court documents, anonymous testimony, and other tools to prevent witness intimidation while ensuring they have enough evidence for conviction. What's striking about this case is how it demonstrates the evolution of federal law enforcement. Prosecutors are using laws like the New York Adult Survivors Act, which allowed Cassie to file her lawsuit even though the statute of limitations had expired. They're using sophisticated digital forensics tools that didn't exist when many of these alleged crimes occurred. They're applying RICO laws in ways that recognize how modern criminal enterprises operate through legitimate businesses. The case also shows how federal investigators approach complex criminal enterprises in the digital age. They don't just look at individual crimes. They map out entire organizations, follow money trails, analyze digital communications, and build cases designed to dismantle entire criminal operations. As the trial continues, we're seeing how prosecutors present RICO cases to juries. They start with a comprehensive narrative showing how the enterprise operated, then present specific evidence of individual crimes, and finally tie everything together to show a pattern of criminal behavior. It's a sophisticated approach that requires enormous resources and expertise. The federal investigation that brought down Diddy represents a new model for how law enforcement handles cases involving powerful individuals who allegedly abuse their positions. It shows that wealth, influence, and celebrity status don't provide immunity from federal prosecution when there's sufficient evidence of systematic criminal behavior. For Sean Diddy Combs, this investigation represents the complete collapse of everything he built. From a poor kid in Harlem to one of the most powerful men in entertainment, he created an empire worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But according to federal prosecutors, he allegedly used that empire to facilitate systematic abuse and exploitation. Now that same empire is being used as evidence against him in a case that could result in him dying in federal prison. The investigation continues, as prosecutors have said they're encouraging anyone with information to come forward. Given the scope of the alleged criminal enterprise and the number of people who allegedly witnessed or participated in these activities, there are probably more cooperating witnesses we haven't heard from yet. This case ultimately demonstrates that in America, no one is above the law, no matter how rich, powerful, or connected they are. It might take enormous resources, sophisticated investigative techniques, and extraordinary courage from victims and witnesses. But the federal justice system has the tools and determination to hold even the most powerful people accountable for their alleged crimes.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.